This is TSM Zero, and you're listening to TCR.
Okay, so let's start.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of The Center Ring, a.k.a. TCR, a.k.a. your favorite esports podcast. Episode 89 coming to you live, pre-recorded from an undisclosed location. The date, January 17th, 2018. The time, 8:47 p.m. Central Time. I am Tim. I'll be one of your hosts for this episode. Joining me, as always, you have Brett. Hello, Brett.
What's up, family?
And you have Anuj is back. Hello, Anuj.
What up, what up? How you doing?
Is everything okay from last week?
Well, yeah, things are good, man.
did the doctor say
family? Family came over and mourned, and we're all taking it well, though. What? Got 2-3 more episodes in me.
All right. Hey, man. That's okay. Always get Launders on here. Or Shazam. He's not in contract anymore.
If you want to get a budget version of me, go for it.
I can always get that. I'm pretty sure Launders is not the budget version. You might be the budget version of Launders, but that's for a different time. But we are TCR, and of course you can follow us on our social media. At The Center Ring on Twitter. And you can go to our website, tcr.gg, and get all the other social media outlets from there. Even the past episodes. Even 88, which apparently did not actually hit the website player for whatever reason. So if that's how you listen to us, I apologize. I'll look at it now or after the show. You can also join our Discord. It looks all fancy now since a listener said it was ugly, and I at first wasn't going to let it bother me, and then it just kind of ate away at me, and I was like, fine.
You let stuff bother you. You just need to chill out, Tim. And hey, guys, you can go and see what pixel mips look like.
Doesn't look to perfection, then yes, I will fixate on it. But that's just me, man. that's why the podcast sounds so good, right?
Yeah,
yeah, that's it. TCR.gg. Go check it out. Join our Discord. We're a friendly bunch in there, and we always watch the Overwatch League matches and all that stuff. So, hey. We do have a ton of stuff to get to, though, so let's get to it. We are going to end the show with e-news, like always, a compilation of stories that we just didn't really have time to get to or just didn't really have time to or the need to talk about. You have CWL New Orleans wrapped up, which in return... the Pro League is now set up for Call of Duty, and there's already drama. Oh, so esports of them. And Anuj will catch us up with all the drama later on in the show. The middle will be occupied by some CSGO major qualifiers for the major at the major for CSGO in Atlanta,
but
for the Boston major. So we'll talk some major stuff there.
Some major.
And let's start the show off, though, with some Overwatch League talk, shall we? So
let's do it.
Week 2 is going on right now. San Francisco just got embarrassed by Philadelphia. And week 1 wrapped up, though. I don't really want to break down all the games, right? It's a week, right? That's a week ago. That's not what we're going to be here for. Even though we are officially the unofficial show for your Overwatch League news.
I could talk Overwatch so long.
We will we'll leave that to higher produced shows, apparently.
Oh, well. So, F me then.
You know. But what were some of your guys' surprises after going into week one? Whether it be from like a league standpoint or a play standpoint with a team, anything that stood out? We kind of talked about it last week, Brett. Anuj, was there anything that stood out to you for week one?
Yeah, one of the things that caught me off guard a little bit was I was surprised at like the disparity in most of the matches. Like most of the matches, I felt like ended 4-0 or like 3-1 for the most part. I think like the closest one I thought, which was the hyped game, right, for everybody, was the Fuel and Seoul Dynasty game. You know, I think was one of the few that ended in a 2-1 type setting.
Yeah.
But a lot of them were like blowouts, and you saw some of these guys really step up on a huge stage. So I thought you saw a lot of amazing play that first week, too. I mean, there were just so many highlight moments, things that stood out. I don't feel like people were playing it safe. I felt like for people that were new to Overwatch or Overwatch League in general. I think they got to see some pretty good games, even though the score lines didn't necessarily show it.
Well, and even like for someone like yourself, who you don't play Overwatch on a regular basis, right? You're kind of more of a casual, as we say in the biz, when it comes to Overwatch. But like, you still were able to watch it all, and you didn't find it difficult. Like, it's still like the league aspect of it had you a little bit more involved than normal.
Well, yeah, there was things. Okay, so I was definitely hyped to see it. I know we all got home that day, and we were like, I mean, we were on probably an hour before they even started, and people were just in Discord chatting about it. So I thought that was really cool. It definitely got me even more excited to see the excitement kind of, you know, spewing out of all of you guys, Brett especially, from all areas.
Just all the Jack in the Box.
All over.
I'm nerding out on this.
He just so covered himself in the Jack in the Box. Just
There was like
smeared
some,
on my face.
From a viewing standpoint, one thing that I thought was cool is I liked the third person aspect that I saw in a lot of the players. Mm-hmm. There were some players I feel like it's almost necessary to do it, and we kind of talked about some of them. But I thought that was really neat too. I liked the way they made it as spectator friendly as I feel like you can get it at this point. I mean, there weren't things that came to mind being like, oh man, they should have done
unwatchable,
this. Unwatchable,
right?
Done that. Yeah, like, I mean, I thought it was, if you watch the game, you would understand it. I think as a new person, it's still a little difficult to follow because there's so much happening. But for those who, you know, watch it or know the game or play the game, I thought they did a fantastic job.
I want to jump off your point there and talk about, like, if you're new to the game, right? So that's one thing that kind of, to me, it's okay because I know the game, right? I play it almost every day, and for the last 2 years, that's kind of been my thing to play. But if you were brand new to the game, like Counter-Strike, if you've never seen a Counter-Strike game, it's very easy to tell what's going on, right?
Within 5 minutes, you have the general concept of the game.
Yeah, good guys
right?
need to kill the bad guys and plant the bomb and whatever, right? It's very straightforward.
Other than the intricacies, like buying
yeah,
stuff
but I mean,
like
that's
which is
like
anything. Shooting and the
right.
positioning and
you,
all that.
But
you
the gameplay.
Appreciate.
Like, yeah. From a gameplay right. standpoint, you get
With
it.
With Overwatch and the Overwatch League, I was surprised on how little they try to spoon-feed you. Like, they didn't explain, like, okay, so this is Tracer. Her ability is the Pulse Bomb. And this is your ultimate. It charges the more you do damage or whatever, right? Like, they, from what I could tell, explained almost next to nothing to where if you were, like, on Twitch, because that's where this is getting broadcast on, just like a window shopper, if you will, you really could not pick up on any. Like, a lot of the research and knowing what's going on is, like, your job. They're not going to explain
really?
That to you.
Really, the only thing they ever explained was how the maps work, like control maps and stuff like that, like at the very beginning, like week one.
Mm-hmm.
But like, none of the hero, you know, abilities. More to your point,
something that would be kind of neat off of that is like when they talk about the, you know, the individual on the team, like the actual real player. They should talk about the player they're using a little bit, right? And maybe show like a player card on both sides. So like show the actual character. I mean, even for me, like I said, I play Overwatch as a casual and it's like very casual. Okay. So I don't even know all of the supers and all that of every character. If you ask me, I probably wouldn't be able to tell you. In fact, I hopped on the other day and there was a character I'd never seen before. Right. So it was like, that would be kind of neat and helpful just because there is so much happening, right? I understand in the middle of the game, maybe not being able to break it down because action is kind of happening everywhere nonstop for the most part.
Yeah, and you definitely want to sell it to the people who will appreciate it, right?
Yeah,
give it to,
you gotta,
give
like,
it to your
hype
target
it.
Audience, but maybe at a downtime being like, okay, this is what you just saw, right? This giant beam coming out of this person's hand, it also heals, but it also does damage, right? It's and like if you, like you said, Moira probably is the character you're thinking of. And
fingernails.
Yes, fingernail, the fingernail chick.
Yep.
You would never kind of pick up that all what all her abilities is doing. So to me, like I said, I totally get why. It's just it's something I took note of. Is like, dang, they really are not. This is not for just someone wanting to get into Overwatch, right? Yeah, this is really that you want to get into the competitive side of Overwatch.
For the first week, you don't need to do that either. You know, I don't think it was necessary at that point, just because the ones that are tuning in are the ones that like love the game, right?
Yeah,
yeah, they're not catering to the, you know, the new audience. They're catering. I mean, it's like watching football, right? Like you're not going to see Troy Aikman. Well, This is a football. It's oval shaped, and you know they snap it. No, they're not going to go into like each detail. That's not who they're catering to.
Right.
I liked it.
Well, in counter to that,
do a lot of breaking down.
Football is not on the inaugural week. Maybe on the very first game of football ever, they broke it down a little.
But this game's been open. This game's been a bit. You know, more to your point, you've been playing it for 2 years. It's been around for 2 years.
Yeah, I know. Like I said, it's just something I took note. Maybe they need like a newbie stream with three people who do a podcast and are available all the time.
With one of them
maybe we should
can do interviews, Anoush.
I wish we could stream, because I would totally love to stream a game as like us just kind of commentating on it, but that's neither here nor there. The other thing, getting into the play, something that surprised me, and I know we talked about it last week, Britt, but I'm going to bring it home for the listeners that maybe didn't hear it, and that's Dallas Fuel's outtake on it. Now, they did have the hardest week one of any team playing Seoul and Valiant. Mm-hmm. And week two isn't going to get any easier for them playing Houston and London. But it's how they played that worried me going forward. Like, they really did look kind of lost at times. Maybe the chemistry wasn't as there. The talent's there, but not the chemistry. So that's just something that I think everyone wants to keep an eye on, that what was a favorite to win the league, I had them winning the league this year, is all of a sudden kind of in question, I guess.
Real quick, Anoush, just going into the league, they thought, you know, everyone thought that the strength of their team is their DPS and effect and, you know, Taimu and all that, but they haven't been able to, you know, out DPS other teams or even keep up for that matter. And I mean, they substitute, you know, Taimu is known to be one of the best DPSs in the world, and they're subbing him, you know,
and they're sticking him on D.Va and things like that. And he's fine as D.Va, but come on, dude.
Torb.
Even look at Carpe. Carpe on Philly is a widow, changing the way the game is played with some of his headshots and getting triple kills as Widow, and it's those DPS that will get the swing going, right? You use your
tanks.
Does it
make you feel like they're behind the meta, right? Like, maybe just...
It just seems like they're thinking too much, really. Like, just do what you're good at is kind of what my take on the whole thing is. Someone just accidentally closed out all the show notes.
There wasn't much on
what
there.
You were saying something here as I'm pulling up the show notes.
So with the Dallas Fuel, they're obviously like a lot of them former envious, but how many of them that were playing in these matches were part of that former team?
All of them except for two.
XQC and then you look at a team, are really the two that you're
XQC
looking at.
XQC and Seagull.
Yeah, so this is going somewhere with this then. So then you look at a team like Dynasty, for example. They were a former team. How many of those players were starters on that team?
I mean, all
the whole
of them.
Thing,
right? Okay, and Valiant, anything with them?
Oh no, that's a new.
That's kind of a mixture.
Valiant,
but...
that's kind of a mix. I mean, you look at all the other teams. There's, you know, Seoul, London,
Florida,
Dallas, Florida. Those are your teams right there. Your four teams that have the most continuity. Everyone else is kind of like a mixture of players that were on other teams.
Now, one thing to note here, though, that was not surprising, is it does seem like the team with the more Koreans win. I'm just going to throw that out there, that the theory in the preseason was, do the Koreans just kind of carry over their dominance? And so far, the answer is yes. Why, yes, they do.
Well, if you look at three of the top four teams, then yeah.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. It's London, Seoul, obviously. Shanghai is
Counter-Strike still waiting for them to step up.
Dude, just don't even... You don't even want to tease that right now, okay?
No, Shanghai?
NA Counter-Strike is just finally kind of being taken serious. We don't need them. We don't need them just to overshadow everything.
We don't want to be 3 out of 3 right now. 2 out of 2 is pretty good.
Yeah, well, give us something here. But what the listener really cares about is our show bet update of the week. So we are doing a little show bet that's between the three of us and the listeners, that we pick a listener each week to pick the games with us. This week was Nittany. He is a part of our Discord. He's typically in there watching the Overwatch League matches. And to be honest, I don't know if that's really how you say his name, but he's never corrected me.
It's Nittany, like Nittany Lions.
Yeah.
You know,
okay. That's what I've been saying. Okay. I just didn't know if he was nice and never corrected me.
Never
or not.
Corrected us. He is too nice.
Last week, we did have our buddy Donut make picks for the listeners, who has a hatred for New York, which made him pick Boston, and they lost. And he also picked Philly, and they lost. Brett, you were a homer, and you picked Dallas.
Yeah.
And you lost.
I mean, my name's sick.
Me and Anuj are perfect, and we went 4-4.
Oh, except for today.
Yep, except for today, where
and we'll talk about that on the next episode. Right now, I'm perfect.
Yeah,
right
now,
you're perfect. Except for when today you picked San Francisco, shock, and we all picked Philly. You can follow us on Twitter at the Center Ring. We always post our picks and then the results after each week to keep you updated. Right now, the idea is the loser, whoever the listener beats, has to do a show bet payoff. It's tentative. We keep changing our mind. If you go to the Bromo channel in our Discord, either we have to get pixelated nipples tattoos.
Or Tracer.
Or like, the more serious option.
Or we
could
be Tracer with pixelated nipples.
Losers have to cosplay Tracer as we go to DreamHack Dallas, which I think that's pretty.
Sounds pretty damn good at the moment.
I think that is a
alternative.
That is a pretty good one.
I know what you're doing, Tim. I know you. But, okay, this is like a ploy to make that sound like realistic in our heads.
I mean, Anuj, you got the body for the Tracer outfit. Like,
I really just
you
want to
got
see
the body for the Tracer outfit.
What?
I just you have see the body for the Tracer outfit.
I just want to see
you're
Brett
the slimmer of us all.
I think it would just be funnier. Let's be real.
What?
You in tights.
Why?
I don't know. Why not? People on.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm losing weight, so maybe I should just keep my weight now and make it funnier.
We should make a weight bet. So if you're over a certain, or if you're under a certain weight, you're Tracer. If you're over a certain weight, you have to be Roadhog.
Or May.
Yeah,
I could do some May cosplay. All right.
So that is the show bet here. You can keep up with it again, or if you want to be one of our listeners to try pick against us, the professionals, hit us up on Discord and or Twitter or both. And
come at us, bro.
The line is super long, so you know, if it's not for a while, you might get your picks. But hey, you be patient there, and we'll eventually get to you. We're just sifting through our inbox for requests right now. It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But let's talk about some CSGO. It's been a while, I feel like, since we've talked real CSGO. We kind of did a short little preview for it last week.
Everything's kind of kicking off now, too.
Yeah, right. I mean, this was last weekend was the weekend of shooters. So CSGO, the official Boston Major, kicked off with the Boston Major offline qualifier in Atlanta for the Boston Major. And
I followed that, all of that.
Again, this was what they're calling the new Challenger season, which always used to be called the offline qualifiers. So I kind of want to quickly recap on that so the listeners kind of get caught up to date. There were some pretty decent storylines that went into this weekend and some big teams not that you won't see in the new Legend stage, or also known as the group stage, which is this weekend. I want to start with some of the disappointments here. You got Team Envious. They've been struggling for a long time, and it didn't help that RPK was sick, like, I guess to the point where he couldn't play the...
He was, like, on bed rest.
Yeah, like, he... Like, it was... I don't know. I don't know if he had the great equalizer or not. But
he was even more lethargic than he always looks.
Or if he got paid by Flash Gaming.
That's also a very good chance. But we'll never know. Sources tell us that we will never know. Going on to here, you had the surprise of the weekend, even though they didn't qualify. But you did have a Vanguard who went 2-3. I know last week I was saying that some of these teams had no business going into this point, or... I'm sorry, they had business being here. They did not have a business having stickers and being told that you made the major, right? I thought that part was kind of ridiculous. But a Vanguard did show that they could at least compete. You know, I really hope this is not one of those teams where you don't see them ever again until, like, big major events, right? Hopefully they get invited to events, but it just seems like with these teams that are on
like
the fringe.
Like a DreamHack or something?
Yeah, but it just seems like with those types of teams, you just don't see them really ever until majors, right? Like Vega, when do you see Vega ever?
You might be seeing more of them now.
Well, I mean, they qualified. They looked good. Man, Vega looked really good. They
all kind of kicked off, obviously, with the Nip upset last year that people thought was, you know, a big joke. Turned out these guys were an up-and-coming team that, looks like they're here to play, obviously.
Vega went 3-1, beating Renegades, Liquid. They lost to G2, which would go on to go 3-0. And then they are the only team that ended up beating FaZe, which... It was not even like a close game when they beat FaZe. It was
a lot of pick-ems were ruined at that point.
Oh my god, it was pretty much a beatdown against FaZe. Like skins were lost on that one for sure. Team
not
Liquid,
you, Tim, right? Because that wasn't your 3-0 team, right? Like
First off, I just want to make a statement here, okay? I did not do the sticker challenge this time. Out of protest that I think it's ridiculous that they gave stickers to every team trying to get into the actual major. But the one time I don't do it and pick Cloud9 to go 3-0 is the one time Cloud9 actually goes 3-0.
Well, you got another chance, Tim.
So, well, I mean, they're going to win the major. Cloud9 is your...
Obviously.
Is
eventually
your,
you're
going to
be right on this.
TCR lock of the major. Cloud9 is going to win it.
This is the pea shroom lock. Don't get us twisted.
This is your pea shroom lock of the week that Cloud9 is going to take the major in Boston handedly, yeah. I might add. I don't know if they're ever going to lose again, to be honest with you. They dominated. They went 3-0. Arguably them and G2, who both went 3-0, had some of the easier walkways. Cloud9 had Envious, Sprout, and Mousesports. G2 had Flash, Misfits, and Vega, which we said played well.
More to your point, that kind of goes on what we were talking about, you know, in previous Swiss systems, right? Like, you're going to have, like, a lot of good matches, but then you're going to have things like this happen.
Right, where it's like the
and Flash was the replacement, weren't they? They were the replacement for Hailu, so... They didn't have high expectations going in anyway, and they played okay. You know, they didn't win any games, went 0-3, obviously, but wasn't horrendous. G2, like you said, had a cakewalk, though. Misfits over Vega and Flash. I mean, Vega would be the most competitive team there, but still, G2 should be on another level.
Right.
I thought I kind of want to get into this for a second. What have y'all, how did y'all think the Swiss system played out in this part of the tournament?
So we talked about it last week where like everyone loves the Swiss system until they don't, you know, like that's what happened with the last major. Like everyone's like, man, the Swiss system's great. It eliminates the pools and seedings and all. And then all of a sudden, like it doesn't work out and you get a really awful finals and all that. I think,
now, have you seen like how Star Ladder is doing like the Swiss system, but doing it in a best of three format?
Oh really? No, I did not see that. That sounds like it would take forever.
With how many teams, though, right?
Like, so they're not going to be doing, they're going to be playing always two games at a time, right? So
okay. I think the theory, Swiss system helps when it's this many teams, right? Like looking here, I really do think the better teams made it out. Like I don't.
Yeah, except for QBF. I mean, Quantum Bellator beat what?
They beat Flash, a sick
Envious without RPK, and Avangard. That's how they qualified to go to the majors.
But you always get that one team in there, though.
Yeah, but if you look at the overall, like, a broader picture of the teams that everyone played, you honestly, maybe outside of Vega, maybe Vega played the hardest schedule, like schedule of games going into this. Like, but it's pretty well-balanced, other than the top two teams, you know. But it's pretty well-balanced, so... I think it works. It's more of like a pick your poison, right?
I would like to see.
I think this is better than like group play.
When it's going into the group stage, I wish they would reseed it though. Like, I don't think we should just do, when it goes into a group stage for the games, or the new legend stage is what they're calling it. I don't think they should just do random draws like they did.
But even in this stage, if you're gonna pick the number of teams that are coming from each area, you should seed it anyway, because there's no way the Asian minor should have had two teams representing them. Like, it's like blasphemous to even think they deserved one team in there, so, let alone guaranteeing two spots, right?
So I got a question, Anute. Like, are you talking about like a seeding? Like, there's some overall governing type.
You
body
use HLTV. I don't care like what they use, right? They should have some.
But then
sort of
NA
seeding.
Gets screwed, right?
But like, it's not about NA. It shouldn't be NA gets screwed. It should be the best teams, right? Like, what game is done by country? We just do that as like a fun fan sake type thing. But in terms of quality of play, there should always be some sort of seeding. That's why everyone uses HLTV. Otherwise, they would have, you know, no footing.
Maybe it's like a high soccer influence in Europe, because Europe does this pretty much the same thing that they're doing right here.
Well,
like,
I think there are teams
in smaller leagues not being seeded, you know.
Yeah, there's something no to say really. About being marketable, right? They just want to have they want their hands or their footprint in as many countries as possible. Mm-hmm. Like, I think at some point it is a marketable.
The Asia Minor point. One, right? Like, you give them like one guaranteed slot until they've proven they can have multiple teams. Right now, their second team, you know, like I said, we're looking at it as like Avangar or Flash. Like, who are these guys representing when you could have had another EU team in here, a team like Optic, who probably deserved to be in something like this, looking at the lower half tier of teams here. So that's the only thing that bothers me, but I thought the level of play we saw this weekend was awesome.
Some of the best level of Counter-Strike I've seen in a long time. Like, I said it in Discord. Like, I was like, I really have been so bored of watching Counter-Strike for a while, and like this weekend it was like every game was really good.
Yeah, but and you talk about, you know, like Flash Gaming. Can we all agree Flash Gaming was probably the worst team?
Yeah.
In this group, and they were a -11 in round differential. So, I mean, it wasn't like it was just terrible, you know.
It wasn't, but again, that goes back to the point of who they were playing, right? They were playing teams that are a little bit on the lower end. So.
Envious and G2, and then Quantum, Bellator, QB. What are we calling those guys?
QBF, I guess. We won't have to say it past another round.
Yeah, I don't think you'll ever.
We don't have to remember it too much. But yeah, it was exciting CS. We saw, you know, it was great to see a team like Liquid, you know, playing with Zeus come out. They ended up going into that slot. Did y'all get a chance last week to talk about 100 Thieves?
Yes, we did. They weren't able to get their visas. So what they ended up doing was taking all the 2 and 3 teams for the weekend and basically having a tournament for it. Like, it was a 3-team tournament that would decide on which one of those teams is taking 100 Thieves' spot in the major. And Liquid ended up beating Avangar in it. And that's how Team Liquid got into the major. I guess it really doesn't matter how you get there, as long as you get there.
And they got a little lucky with that.
You get to watch our guy Zeus play some more, right? Friend of the show.
Yeah. That is true. It was unfortunate because Renegades was, I thought, the biggest disappointment.
Zeus's coach for a reason.
Yeah, he didn't look great.
No, he is.
he didn't look great, but it probably also helped that he took all the calling responsibilities.
He's a motivator.
Well, no, but if you look at who stepped up in this tournament for them, it wasn't the Leash, it was Nitro. Was like by far the player for their team this whole week. It wasn't even one game. He stepped up in numerous games. And a lot of that, I thought, was thanks to Zeus being there and taking the position he did, which was probably just took calling off of his plate and allowed Nitro to open up and really flourish. And so if you see Nitro at that level and them adding Steel, and that's how Nitro is going to perform.
But we're cheated, man.
That's one thing I took away is that, like, if Liquid is able to do this with Zeus sitting in, when Steel gets in, oh my God. Like, that should be a
threatening team.
Yes, just a well-oiled machine when Steel gets in after this major, and they can start finally using the roster they're paying for.
And it wasn't even like they were a pushover. I think they took, they took FaZe early on, I believe. Yeah, they took FaZe to 16-14. And so even in that match with Zeus, it came down to a final, you know, one round decided that match essentially. Against Na'Vi, they got blown out, and that's partially because Simple is playing like
just
the best player
insane
in the
right
world
now.
Right now.
Isn't it kind of sucks, though, that for Simple, it's like no matter what team he's on, he has to go off for them to even be considered like a top-tier team. Like, it's
like
always
nobody else at his level on his team.
Yes.
Yeah, and I was kind of scared that we weren't going to get that Simple because the only Na'Vi match I watched was their first one, and at the beginning, he was playing kind of rough. But He ended up started off slow in the second half. Yeah,
I remember that match started off close for the first like 6-8 rounds, and I think even the first half was 8-7, and then second half they came out and just dominated.
Yeah.
And from there, he never looked back, though. But yeah, I agree, though. That opening couple rounds, it was a little nerve-wracking. He's like, oh, my gosh, yeah, are they going to lose to QBF here?
Because I want him to succeed so bad. He's not one of those players where I'm just like, you know, he's. I think he's grown up, and I just love it when he's, like, just awesome. I don't know.
I just
Counter-Strike's a lot more fun when he's a god.
And then you have Flipside, who, whereas them and Flash Gaming were the only 0-3 teams in this qualifier. The only reason I bring that up is because this is officially the first time that Markolov and Seize does not see a group stage in a major for the first time ever. I really don't know what else to say about that.
I feel like we should
other
be playing
than
some
that.
Like sad bed music or something like
with them. They didn't even show up at this event. I mean, they were -27 on round differential. They lost to Misfits. They lost to Avangar. So, I mean, the other team was Liquid, who you understand that, I guess you could say. But that's Liquid with the stand-in. So they probably had the easiest first three games, in my opinion, in that sense, just because you got Zeus standing in. So that was a rough showing for them.
They didn't have one of the easier sets.
Liquid and Avangar. Yeah, it's like, man.
You feel bad. They lost Electronic, who was their star player. Seized and Markolov for the big names on that team, but Electronic was the playmaker for them.
Did Seize look like he wanted to be there? Like I saw like camera cut to him a couple of times, and he just looked so disinterested, like dejected. Like,
yeah, when you lose
just
16-4,
and then you're now with Flipside, and just like, God.
When you lose your opening game 16-4 to Misfits, you're probably going to be depressed the rest of the
you're
tournament.
Probably checking out.
Just getting wrecked by Shazam.
Like, what do you even do at that point?
So now,
and Seize had a terrible tournament too. Just,
well, I mean, like you said, the team in general, no one played well. Now, so this weekend, starting on the 19th, which is Friday. You have what they're calling now the New Legend Stage, which is formerly known as the Group Stage.
Matchups are out for that too, right?
Yes, the matchups, they picked them right afterwards. It was just a random draw. I believe through, like, if you were a Legend team, then you were picked, and then a new Legend team was picked, right? That's kind of how they alternated. Yep. This is another reason why I don't like the Swiss format, right? Because when you look at this, like when you're trying to preview something, you're literally going team by team. Because after round one, who knows what would happen, right?
I'm kind of looking. There's a couple of matchups.
I mean, there's matchups
that
are good, right?
Like Na'Vi and Gambit. Like,
it's so difficult projecting on what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is, because it all comes down to, if there's really hard matches in the first day, then you know the second round is going to be hard, because there's always going to be one good team falling into the loser's bracket, right?
Well, and then, like, and look at this. Like you said, Gambit and Na'Vi are playing. Realistically, both of those teams probably shouldn't even win the first game, but one of them has to at this point.
This goes back to the initial point of, it's difficult without seeding. It's always going to be so random, and you're going to have these lopsided games where there should be maybe these two teams that fell into the loser's bracket because they had really tough first round matchups with another top tier team that shouldn't even be there, right? And so if they're seeding, you kind of avoid, I mean, maybe you take away some of the underdog story, which is nice to have in some of these tournaments, but at the end of the day, you want to see the best teams playing.
I like storylines. Seeding and groups give me storylines to go off of. I'm a man of simple taste, and I work in radio. I need storylines. The Swiss format really doesn't offer it unless you're really looking at like a random storyline, right?
I'm going to tell you the day one storyline. Uh-oh, is it happening again to C9? If they lose to G2, they could fall into the loser's bracket.
Can you believe it, though?
And
they
have
got G2?
An incredibly, incredibly tough second round match, because you're going to have at least two or three really good teams losing in that first round.
So I think it's funny. Like, when I look at, if you said, hey, who's better, G2 or C9, I would probably lean towards C9, or at least say they're pretty much even, right? But when they're against each other, Cloud9 cannot beat G2. I don't know what
close.
It is about them, but when they
get
play each other,
dominated by them,
it just doesn't work out. So of course they're playing them in round one.
And both the 3-0 teams that advance.
That was what I was about to bring up. It was the two 3-0 teams
again
that are playing each other.
You want to talk about reseeding right there? You just had the best teams out of qualifiers. All of a sudden now are going to be one is going to go immediately into the losers pool.
Yeah.
Just like that.
That's why seeding would help. I feel like they have it lined up for them. HLTV is doing the work for them. You know, so it's like use
some
the
of these
seeding.
Matchups, though, are, I mean, like Liquid and Big. Big has been completely irrelevant since the last major.
And so, they're getting to play Liquid in the first round with the stand-in.
Right.
And like, okay, so now you could have Big essentially going round two. Then you have VP, who's been performing like garbage for majority of the year, except for when it counts, right, I guess you could say. And they get, who do they got, like QBF first round,
yeah,
I think?
Yeah.
So that's going to be a little interesting because you're going to have, like I said, a couple good teams falling out. Either Gambit or Na'Vi is going into the loser's bracket. Astralis, you know, with Device back. Let's see how they do together. Playing Mouse in the first game, definitely not an easy first game. And Fnatic, who's given FaZe trouble in the past, surprisingly, is also a matchup that you can't just look past.
Yeah.
It's
going to be fun, though.
Yeah, and it all starts on Friday, I'm sure, super early, man. These games go all day long. They got two stages sets up there. I don't know why E-League just doesn't run two streams. I mean, I get it. They want the viewers on one, but good Lord. Like, normal humans cannot watch this stuff from 9 a.m. till 10 p.m. Like, does anyone really sit there for 12 hours watching this stuff?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, speaking of viewers,
I would.
You would have it on in the background.
They did really well for viewership this week throughout the week.
I mean,
I was really, really surprised.
500,000.
Yeah,
G2
and, you know,
Vega 526.
And honestly, like, that surprised me because I thought maybe a lot of people were just going to be like, you know, because you had more, you know, what we were talking about earlier. A lot of people were saying, well, this is a fake part of the major. You know, why are we even, you know, why do we even care about this? But it brought the
people showed up.
It
people showed
the
up
numbers,
like it was the
man.
Major.
That was pretty awesome to see, like, how many people. I just wonder what it's going to be like for the ACTA major, right? Like,
right. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So that's the
million?
New the
one
new legend
guys?
Stage. Oh, it's going to easily, I think, break over.
Oh,
a million.
For sure.
Yeah.
It will easily break
without,
over.
Without Chinese viewers, it was, you know, like I said, over 500,000. That's pretty crazy. You know, it's just a random stat on this. I'm looking at the top five matches from the group stage and their viewer count. Surprisingly, Cloud9 in none of those five games. That's actually shocking.
And A's not bringing it, man.
Well, Liquid is in one of them. Liquid had the third highest viewed game, and it was
I think
them
it's
versus
just,
Vega.
It's one of those things like when you know they're going to win, right? Like, why even
Oh, my God.
And part of it might be timing, too. Like you said, a lot of these games were on all day. I mean, the games were running all day. So if you had a peak time, that would also
help out.
That would also help.
So that's the new legend stage. That all kicks off on Friday. Next week, we'll do like a full-on, like, in-detailed preview of the actual playoffs for the major. And that will be a proper one there because we'll actually know the teams. It'll be easier to see a bracket. You know, we'll break it down
It'll
even
be
more
a lot,
next week.
A lot
week.
More analysis.
We are your official, unofficial show of the Boston E-League Major. So keep it tuned right here.
Officially unofficial.
On TCR.
For the major.
And we are the official, unofficial CWL New Orleans show. Thank you for joining us. That did wrap up last week. No bomb threats this time. It was a quite smooth operation. I actually kind of chuckled in Championship Sunday, I think, when like the finals actually started at like 5. And I was like, oh, so this is what it's supposed to be like when there's not a bomb threat. I was like,
yeah, in the murder capital of the world,
like New Orleans. This is interesting. This is nice. This is nice not having a hour
partially
and a half
because
delay.
That dude's in jail.
It does help when the guy did it is in jail now.
Good.
But that's neither here nor there. Going over some of the results, you have, let's see. Well, Team Caliber, they ended up getting first, so that's their back-to-back from CWL Dallas. They looked
25,000 points.
Yeah, they are in a commanding lead right now for first, considering Luminosity got second, Rise Nation got third, and Red Reserve got fourth. So even like Splice, who was a finalist last time in Dallas, were in the top 12, right? Like, to be fair, they had a ridiculous group. And yes, you brought it up. You ruined my big reveal, but that's okay. Optic Gaming got in the top 12 after getting beat 3-1 by Red Reserve in the most fitting fashion, I might add. It was a hard point, and they had 1 second. I definitely encourage you to go
so
watch
depressing.
It.
So depressing. It's incredible.
1 second to go to win the hard point map. They were on the site too, right? Correct me if I'm wrong. They were on the site. Then Red Reserve ended up killing them off the site, took over, and then they controlled it the rest of the time. Like, Optic Gaming had it. They had the win, and then they blew it. So I don't know what's going on with
them.
There
was a couple of those matches in this tournament. You know, there was a handful of matches where it felt like it went down to the last second or two. Mm-hmm. And
to go 4-0 though for that, like to go 4-0 in groups like they did, and then to get top 12,
bomb out like that,
dude,
disappointing.
Like they are just not able to compete with the better teams right now in World War II. And I don't know what the deal is. Maybe it's the whole boots on the ground thing, but I guess it's they liked the jetpacks more, but. They are
a lot of these teams remade themselves to fit this style of play better, right? We saw a lot of roster changes, you know, during the offseason to align players that were maybe better suited for boots on the ground. Optics stuck together because they obviously won the Worlds, you know, just prior to this game coming out. So they didn't feel like they needed to make a change. And they have some really good boots on the ground players, but they just haven't stepped up, you know, since... You know, they just haven't stepped up in this tournament. They had a bad showing.
And it's not like one glaring person, right? It's not like Karma's playing bad or anyone there. It's just...
Nobody's standing out.
No,
right?
No one's...
They're all, like, doing okay.
Whether
They're
it be for
nobody's
better or
like,
worse, right? No one is standing out.
So now you drop, and, you know, just in this tournament alone, you lost a 20,000-point differential between you and Caliber right there.
And that's going into the Pro League, which is kicking off... Oh, I had the date here. It's like the 23rd of January, I think, is when the Pro League kicks off. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that's what it is. And already we have some drama going into it. Anuj, you'll have to catch me up on this. I've seen bits and pieces of it. It's teams and their pro points are getting lost. And, you know, I would love to follow all of this on the CWL's website, but it's trash. The CWL website
is
trash.
If you want to stay up to date on drama... Do yourself a favor. If you don't have Twitter, get Twitter. While you're on Twitter, follow at the Center Ring. But honestly, Twitter is where it's at. Like
Look
people
at
just
product
put
placement.
Their feelings.
Yeah,
people
no,
just
right.
put their feelings out there. You know, it's like it's crazy. So, little backstory
Anuj
on this.
Knows all about putting your feelings on Twitter.
Shit, seriously. If you I'll keep it real on Twitter too. So I feel like we're good follows, semi good. Anyways. Pro points are what these players or teams earn in order to, you know, define your ranking throughout the season. They all earn pro points for not only these big tournaments where the pro points are massive, you know, like we just said, 25,000 points for the winner, but you also get points on a daily basis. You can play up to 5 GBs, which are game battles, and each game battle game can earn each individual or player can like max out at 35 points. So for the team, it's like 140 points. Essentially per day. And that's every day they have to do this. So it's about 2 hours of grinding.
And then they do like 2K tournaments, which is
yep.
you get
every Sunday.
For.
And that's like every Sunday. And that goes like 12 to 12, basically. So every Sunday they're completely booked because they have to get these points. Every day they're pretty much required to play at least 2 hours a day. And then they go practice, you know, and they've all complained about this. They all actively complain about this because it's like, dude, we practice for like 3-4 sometimes 5-6 hours depending
on. But then
on
we have to do like
tournament.
Actual meaningful games and it's like
yeah, we have to do these games on the side. So where this all stemmed from is this issue right here. So what happened here, Enigma 6, who was created by FaZe Censor, he's also a player on the team. Enigma 6 was basically setting up fake GBs and they were just having the other team report a loss essentially, so they would queue the game up. Other team would just report a loss. They would
now,
set up the games with them every day.
So these fake
you know,
teams,
five times.
Did they involve 4 actual people that all agreed
yeah,
to do this?
Yeah, yeah,
okay.
4, because the other team has to report the loss.
Yeah, so
too,
it's like,
right?
but he would get like buddies or people online and be like, yo, just create this team.
Whoever. They played the same people every week, you know,
so
every
with
day.
So these game battles, it's not like you have to compete against other like top tier teams. It's legit like anyone?
It's anybody. It's anybody on game battles. That's why they're always posting.
Maybe we're on to something, guys. We just get 8 people, And just keep challenging. I'll be on the losing team. That's fine.
Well, the problem is, it's not enough for people like you and me to like just accumulate those points and move up that high. But when it comes to these top tier teams, when the differential is sometimes like 20, 30, 40 points, each day matters for them. And they're like, even on Christmas, we have to take those 2 hours out to go do this. So of course, what they started doing is setting up these fake games. So Enigma 6 got essentially 240 points deducted. They told FaZe Center this on Friday or Thursday night or Friday morning, right before the tournament started. They said, hey, we're on to you. He admitted to it. He didn't deny it, which was good on his part, admitted to it, and they deducted him 240 points. So now fast forward to after this tournament. In order to get into Pro League, you have to be, I believe, top 8. Maybe it's 12, whatever it is. I think it's 8 or 12. You have to be in that grouping to get into the Pro League. Well, Enigma 6 ended up falling behind, I think it was Evil Geniuses. They ended up losing by like 15-point differential, right? Dang. And so those 240 points. Yeah, top 8. So there was like a 15-point differential. And the only way Evil Geniuses could jump back ahead of them was on the day of the tournament, like the second to last day, they would have to wake up at like 2 a.m., play 5 games from the hotel, and accumulate those 140 points.
So even like on a day with CWL New Orleans, they have to do this.
Yeah, so
God,
Sensor looked up all of this stuff and reported it to MLG and was like, look, how do they play a game at 2 in the morning when they have a game that same morning at like 8 a.m.? And where did they get it from? Like, where did they get the four games for, you know, the four players from? How did they get them all like
basically saying like this isn't adding
monitors,
up, they're in the room PS4 next to us, like,
yeah,
how is this happening,
like, right here? And so then he found other tweets that were like, look, he says they're traveling at this time and they're on the plane, but if you look at game battles, they have a game queued at the same time, like, how is this possible?
So he
went
like full detective mode.
Yep. And so then the ruling came out that they're not deducting any points from Evil Geniuses after their conversation with them, and more information came out. They said, no, we're not deducting any points from them. They're still going to be ahead of you, right? So FaZe Sensor takes his phone and turns on a recording device and goes up to Nameless from Evil Geniuses and confronts him and is trying to get him to confess about not being in the game battle and
faking
Nameless.
It, right.
Yeah, Nameless, to his sake, did not say that, but he insinuated whatever you did to piss off MLG, like, that's your problem, is basically what he was saying, you know? He's like, look, we're trying to get into Pro League just as bad as y'all are, so I'm not going to do anything to help you out. But he didn't admit to actually throwing the games, but it's known, it happens, right? Like, I feel like they all probably do this to some extent.
Right.
So he leaked this phone conversation on a YouTube video. This dude has like a million followers, right? So he leaks this out there, and now you have this whole meme drama situation going on right now of, you know, who the hell do you trust? Like, who's wearing a wire in every conversation now, right? So it is insane. It's just funny,
dude,
to follow on Twitter.
Bottom line is, you don't
over
trust
the top.
You don't trust anyone
anybody
but your organization.
And even then, it's like, who does that though? Like, you've just ruined your reputation.
Especially if there was
pros
nothing in there, right? It's a different story if you like decided to record it and he's like, yeah, dude, we just fixed all of our games, you know, bad luck on
that's
your part that you got caught.
That's exactly what I thought.
It's like
he leaked the
phone.
I was like, dude, there's nothing.
Yeah, if there's nothing, then yes, you just killed your own reputation, and now Enigma 6 just look like a bunch of crybabies to the entire pro scene.
Looks terrible. It really looks terrible.
Not a good look, but man, it does create fun drama. And the best part is, it's like the pro leagues, the divisions are already set. You know, it's like Enigma 6 is out. At this point, it's just he's burning bridges for the sake of starting fires.
And you know, he's not
like
helping his case, because
no,
now it's like,
nah,
we don't really want this guy around anyway now, so
it's done.
Move on. Yeah.
The way, the Division B in the Pro League is stacked. I think Division B in the Pro League, where you have E-United, FaZe Clan, which I think is surprisingly better than what people thought, Luminosity, Splice, Envious, whew, whew. Division A, you have Optic, which suck. They're probably going to get last place. And Team Caliber.
Just because.
Out of principle. I mean,
they
told you.
New Orleans, you said.
That will teach any of these organizations to ignore my emails. Okay? You will rue the day when the TCR curse, where you will win one world championship and never again. I hope they learned their lesson.
I'm sure they did, Tim.
So there is some CWL talk for you. Fun and drama. So, I mean, what's coming from this then, Anuj? Like, literally nothing, right? It's just...
At this point, it just looks like a jackass. So that'd be the first thing coming from it. The rest is just going to just be fun drama now, right?
Yeah,
I think that's all it's going to do. It's just going to be something to talk about, made fun of. Not a whole lot's going to happen from this. What I think they need to do, hopefully what actually comes out of this, is the revamping of the point system. Because I do get it. I get why they do what they do in order to get those points. There's no way every single day you're going to sit there and go 2 hours and then go practice and then on Sunday run a 12-hour tournament every single Sunday. Like, no, it's not worth it. COD, some of these guys make decent money, but most of them probably don't make a lot. So they need to revamp how the point system works. There's no need for a pro team to get matched up against us four.
I was just about to say, yeah, there needs to be a cutoff. Like, once you hit pro status, like, once you make it out of open brackets at these tournaments, then you probably should make enough points or whatever to solidify yourself,
like,
as...
These points should only be relevant in an open bracket. They should have nothing to do with the pro seed. Like, the points should not even count towards any pro team, and they have their own point system at that point, and find some way to move people up or whatever. But the system, the way it is right now, is broken. Teams, I think, will be a little bit more cautious, but there's no way it completely stops.
It's weird,
right,
though, because, like,
or
MLG...
maybe don't do as many points for, like, the daily stuff.
But even then, even if it's like, even if you told them it was 5 points, they would still do it because you just don't know what it's going to come down to.
If you're not doing it, but the other team is, that's 5 points a day. You know,
that's
25
a week.
Yeah, it's like,
maybe you don't do all 5 games because, like, the first game is worth 15 points and then every game after is like 5 points. So maybe you just do the first game or something. But still, to have to commit to something like that every day, take out holidays if you're going to leave it the way it is. Be like, hey, these don't count around these times of year, so you can at least spend time doing whatever you do.
Or why don't, like, they know that tournaments and stuff are coming up, right? So just make, like, the week prior, or, you know, the week before and after, pointless, right? Like, don't get any points for these weeks because people are going to be at the events busting ass to get to that point. So let's
these
not
guys are
it.
Playing 12 hours in a day and then have to go back to their room and play against you and me.
Yeah, like, it seems... And I get it. Like, MLG has always been about that. Like, even in Halo, like, hey, anyone can rise up through the open bracket, right? That's always been their big, fun selling point. But it just, at the same time, you got to give the pros some respect, right? They can't be, they can't be constantly doing this. And I do want to get into some e-news here, but one thing I did want to bring up before e-news, I thought it was not important to dedicate, like, a whole, like, 15 minutes to, but just enough to not just throw it away in e-news. We did have a pretty important retirement this last week on the 12th in esports, and it was the gentleman who brought us in today. That is TSM Zero from the Smash Brothers 4 community, or Smash U. He announced his retirement, I think it was like last Friday on the 12th. And, dude, it's a pretty big one for the Smash community. It's he literally, like, the new world rankings just came out for both Smash U and Melee. Zero was the number one in the world. And he was, since the game came out, like, he went on a 52-game winning streak, or a tournament winning streak. When the game first came out in 2015, he, like, almost went literally the entire year without losing a tournament when it first came out. Zero was insane. And to have the number one guy in your game retire and basically say, hey, I'm going to take a break until the next version of this game comes out, probably not a good sign for that game. I would think Zero is kind of an odd guy, and he could have made this on an emotional decision. Like any retirement in esports, I always say I'll see you next tournament, because let's be real,
he's not quitting, right?
Yeah, no one to say you're,
I mean, but hey, if he does, maybe he'll give someone else a chance to...
Well, that's the thing. It's he announced that he's retiring from Super Smash Brothers, but, like, in the same breath, basically saying he's only really taking a break. It's like, okay, so what if Nintendo comes out and says, yo, there's not going to be a new Smash Brothers for, like, 3 more years on the Switch, then, or here's my take on it. Right now in the Smash community, you have like two games, right? You have Melee, which is still the dominating one for skill, and then you have Smash 4. You have Brawl in between that everyone just ignores that it was never even made. So what's to say, like, that's such a finicky group of people on what they like and don't like and what they consider skill-based. What's to say that, like, Smash on Switch isn't going to completely suck to their standards, you know? So you're just running the risk of, like, hey, I'm going to wait to this next one, and hopefully it doesn't suck.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, though.
I just think he wears his, like, emotions on his, you know, on his sleeve. Scarf. And I'm just thinking it's him just trying to maybe get a reaction out of people, to be honest. Like, I follow him on Twitter, and I just want to put a blanket over him and tell him it's going to be okay.
Well, he does wear the scarf that his mama got him, so maybe you can just do that. But he's actually a sweet guy. I don't want to talk too much smack.
But
on
I mean,
him.
I'm just saying he's an emotional guy.
Listen,
like, it's just him trying to maybe
he's a
get
chubbier
a reaction,
dude.
I think
he wears Gunner optics, and he wears a scarf around. There's a lot of things to not like about him, just from a physical appearance. But
Tim,
from a,
why don't you be nice, man?
From a person. Right. Listen, no offense. no offense to the guy. You know, super nice guy. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens. I'll be surprised on how long the quote-unquote retirement lasts, because you never know. All right, so let's get into some real e-news here, shall we? Quite a bit going on. We have another actual pro league trying to get into esports with the Major League Soccer announcing that they're going to create a FIFA league. And of course, what are they going to call it? Nothing but EMLS.
Beautiful.
Oh, that's original, man.
That's very
super creative.
Very creative on their part. Bravo, MLS. Basically sounds like they're just mimicking a like what NBA is doing, where they're taking,
which is
like
super successful, right? That's gaining a lot of ground.
It hasn't
right?
started yet. All right, let's not let's not judge just yet. But no, you're probably right. So we'll see. I don't know. It's kind of
like
funny that a fleeting league is already creating a fleeting. like I don't think anyone thought, hey, the MLS, you should use your budget on an esports league. But hey. That's why I don't have the job. You have Rogue was acquired by Wrecked Global. Rogue, also owned by Steve Aoki. What do you got on that, Anuj? Anything for us?
Super exciting.
Yeah, all the excitement.
So Wrecked Global, they're kind of like, you can go to their website and read what they do, and you still really won't know what they do. They are one of those many companies that say that they are going to bring esports into the future. They're basically what I think is they bridge the gap between like traditional sports and esports to where like, so say you're a traditional sports and you need somebody in esports to do something. You reach out to them and they're like the middleman, I think.
So can I say something here? All right, so they want to bring esports into the next generation, but they're using the most generic.
Dude. I know.
Esports gaming term in their name.
What's best is the way they spelt it. So it's capital R, lowercase e, of course, because it's esports. Capital K and capital T, Wrecked Global. Building the future of esports. That is what you see right when you go to their website. And you know what?
I look at that name and I just think douche.
Obviously,
like,
they're more successful
douche
than we are because they can purchase Rogue, but.
KTG is a Russian symbol for money, and it's a Russian-based company.
Well, we don't care.
Oh, are they?
They have.
No, I'm just.
I was about to say, man. You sounded so
anymore.
Believable. Like I was like,
I mean,
really?
Yeah, no, man. God.
Per sources.
Per sources. Oh. There.
It just looks like something like a kid would do.
What is going on? Oh, oops. I also played the jazz.
Timber, you're right,
man. I was like, who the hell is playing jazz music? But it was me. My bad. What else do we have here?
He just has a jazz flute in the background. Yeah, he just plays it.
At first, I thought it was like a dude. I was like, what are you doing? Like,
practicing, bro.
Yeah, I'm like, what? Someone just practicing their flute? You also have here where Houston-based venture capital firm plans to build a $70 million esports arena in Houston. That's Work America Capital Management Group. So there you go. Right. They're setting the bar high for those.
Yeah.
The plan is for a 70 million, 120,000 square foot esports arena complex dubbed the Cannon.
Jerry Jones built a billion-dollar one, so what now?
The area will be part of a larger tech-focused Work America Capital Development called the Founders District in Houston.
Okay.
So there you go, man.
People thought Jerry built AT&T Stadium for the Cowboys.
No.
Little did we know it's for complexity.
It's for complexity.
He built it for Peter. It's like,
thanks,
hey, Peter,
taxpayers.
I got you, bro.
Suckers.
Got him. So that's pretty cool, though. Yeah, I mean, you're seeing, you know, what will I assume be where the Overwatch League will play and everything there.
In 1 to 2 years. That'd be exciting. Yeah. I'm down.
And that,
I can get down
that
on that.
That pretty much lines up for it. So there you go. Now you're all caught up with E-News. I hope you enjoyed the show. That is episode 89 of The Center Ring, a.k.a. TCR, a.k.a. your favorite esports podcast. I appreciate you listening to this episode. If you're a new listener or if you're old and you just haven't joined us yet, go to tcr.gg and you can find our Discord there. We're friendly people, I promise. You can follow us on Twitter at The Center Ring. Spread the good word of TCR. Get your friends in it. I don't know. Whatever you got to do there to make sure we live on into perpetuity. We'll be back next week for our E-League Boston Major Playoff Preview episode. That will be a good one. Probably pretty heavy in CSGO. We'll keep you up to date on what's going on with the Overwatch League, as we are your official, unofficial show of the Overwatch League. Yeah, that's it. Thank you again for listening to TCR. For Brett, for Anuj, I'm Tim. We'll see you next week.